Ah, crap, it's another hotel room. It is getting towards the very end of the year, though, and hopefully getting towards the very end of an endless set of what has been a very very hotel-filled 2019. But at least I am in my home state. I am in Brisbane at the moment in Queensland on the Yao Tour. Now, Yao, in fact, I figured out the other day, I haven't done Yao for 4 years. I did Yao in 2015 and 2014. And Yao is actually a pretty cool conference because they take speakers through Sydney, Brisbane, and Melbourne, our sort of three eastern seaboard capital cities, and they take a whole bunch of international speakers as well. And I've always said, look, this is a really, really good trip for folks from overseas because they get to sort of see three very different parts of the country. And Yao does do a sensational job of looking after speakers as well. So they have a lot of great speaker dinners. Yesterday, we were out in the bay, in Moreton Bay here in Brisbane, cruising around on catamarans, drinking beer, which was actually a very nice experience as well. So Yao has been a good conference. So on the things that I've done this week, well, not necessarily in chronological order, but Yao in Sydney. So I did a keynote at Yao in Sydney. When did I do that? I think it was Friday morning. It becomes a bit of a blur. On the rise of the data breaches, talking about all of the things that are breaking into our things. I talked a lot about data breaches themselves, a lot about incidents such as vulnerabilities in the Nissan Leaf. Folks may remember that story from a few years ago. The TikTok Track Watch may remember that story from earlier this year. A whole bunch of things about just how easy it is for our stuff to get broken. Really good keynote material as well, because it's sort of at a level that everyone can absorb pretty well. And I haven't seen the evals yet. And yeah, it does do evals, which is pretty cool. I do get and publish every single one of my evals as well. So if you go up to troyhunt.com/2019events, I think that's the URL, every time I get an eval, I do drop it in there as well. So I'm pretty keen to see this one, because I think that went quite well. Yao's interesting, actually, because being the same conference and the same talk three times back to back, you sort of get to see how three different cities react. And I noticed that the organisers sort of sending messages around to a bunch of the speakers, a bunch of them being from overseas. And interestingly, they said Aussie audiences tend to mark a bit harder than American audiences. I can speculate on some reasons why that may be, but that's probably not something I'll share here online. But it is interesting to see, and I recall from previous years as well doing Yao, that you can get very, very different reactions from Aussie audiences in the three different cities. And sometimes I think it's just the design of the room, sometimes it's the density of the audience, and sometimes maybe there is a little bit of a cultural difference between the different locations here in Oz. Not so much as you see between different locations in somewhere like the US or especially Europe, where you've got lots of different cultures, but we are a little bit different in different parts of Oz. So anyway, The opening keynote when I did it in Sydney. I think it's the closing one here in Brisbane tomorrow. I really should check that, shouldn't I? And then I'll be going down to Melbourne on Wednesday to do another one then, opening, closing. I don't know. Look, it's just got all the people in the room. So that will almost wrap up my conference commitments this year. There's going to be one other one overseas later this year, but I'll talk about that later on. So while I was in Sydney, I also did a Microsoft Fireside Chat with my friend Sonia Cuff. So this was a chance for Microsoft to say, look, free open event, come along, have a talk about cloud things. So she's a Microsoft cloud advocate, and she spoke a lot about what Microsoft are doing with cloud. I spoke a lot about what I'm doing with cloud, much of it on Microsoft, bunch of it on Cloudflare as well. Obviously, Cloudflare is a really, really critical part of Have I Been Pwned For Me. So I did that the other day. Now, speaking of Have I Been Pwned, just had its sixth birthday. So I think it was the 4th of December was Have I Been Pwned's sixth birthday. And in fact, since then, I've loaded another data breach as well. So I want to get all my stats here correct, because the stats are sizable. I think sizable is the right word. 417 data breaches now, 9.139 billion accounts, 105 PACE, 123 million records from PACE as well. This is, you know, like looking back on it, looking back on where Have I Been Pwned has come from the last 6 years, and indeed where my career as well has come from the last 6 years. Like, this is just an absolutely insane journey, and it's well and truly not over yet as well. There's a lot of big stuff to come. So, you know, when I see these numbers and think about the things that Have I Been Pwned has done, it's, you know, I mean, I hope very good things for the community, and I had lots of very nice feedback when I tweeted this the other day. But for me as well, I mean, the places it's taken me, all the way to Congress, for God's sake. I mean, that's not something I saw coming 6 years ago. let alone all the times with the governments and all the other exposure it's given me, and just crazy, amazing experiences. This wasn't planned either, right? Like, I didn't sit there 6 years ago and go, I'm going to make something that's going to be like a massively huge, well-known thing in 6 years, and it's going to take me all these places. It was literally like sitting down, oh, this seems like a fun thing to do at the time. Maybe it'll be useful. Maybe a few of my mates will use it. Here we are. So, anyway, there's many more chapters yet to come in the Have I Been Pwned story. A couple of other things this week, a couple of other tweets. This isn't going to be a long weekly update. This is also a Monday morning I'm doing this. It's late again, but catamaran cruising beer. Anyway, so here we go. A couple of other tweets I thought were kind of interesting this week. It's just ones that got traction that I wasn't expecting to get. Now, one of these I found amusing. So someone pinged me and they said, hey, have a look at this this Rabobank phishing site. And the URL here is Rabo das Passenwagen. It's in Dutch. A URL that looks a little bit fishy, but not overly fishy, because it's like foreign language for me anyway. Long time since I used to be able to speak some Dutch. Used to live in the Netherlands for years, but that wears off over time. So anyway, it's a phishing site. Chrome Safe Browsing had picked it up. So at the time I went there, great big red screen, dangerous site ahead. Are you sure you want to go? Yeah, look, I'm an expert. You know, I can do this. I'll be fine. Go in there, and of course it's served over HTTPS. And I thought, oh, I'll have a look at the cert, because of course many phishing sites today use Let's Encrypt. They use Let's Encrypt because whether you're a bad dude or a good dude, it's like Let's Encrypt is a nice service to use. This one, however, was using a Sectigo cert, which I found amusing. And I guess the reason I found amusing is Sectigo, formerly Komodo, CA, formerly Komodo, was very, very vocally negative. That's too weak a word. Dicks. vocally dicks about Let's Encrypt in the early days. I mean, things like literally trying to trademark the brand name Let's Encrypt to try and shut Let's Encrypt down. Of course, that didn't work very well. Let's Encrypt is now absolutely freaking massive. They tweeted some stats, actually. Where's the stat? Because I retweeted this yesterday. I know I'm going off on a tangent, but this was a really, really cool stat about the number of certs. Here we go. In the past 5 days, this is a Let's Encrypt tweet. In the past 5 days, we have issued over 5 million certificates from our certificate authority. That's over 1 million a day, over 41,000 an hour, over 700 a minute. I guess that's over 10 a second as well, if we want to keep going down that rabbit hole. But this is amazing, and this is a CA that is literally run on a shoestring. They get a few million bucks worth of funding every year. This was in relation to them asking for donations as well. If you've never donated to Let's Encrypt and you're using them, please go and throw them some money, because they do amazing stuff. And they're managing to support just a massive, massive part of the critical infrastructure that is now the web. So, you know, good on those guys for just doing this to make the world a better place. So anyway, Sectigo were not very nice to them back in the day. They've subsequently gone down the path of doing things like funding Let's Encrypt certificate transparency logs, so good on them for that. But they're also still saying a bunch of batshit crazy stuff as well. And I mentioned this, I think, a couple of weekly updates ago. So I found it amusing to see a certificate from them. In fact, this is a one-year certificate too, because it was valid from the 30th of November this year to the 30th of November last year. Do they issue free one-year certificates? I thought they were all like 1 month, the ones that Sectigo did for free. Regardless, it is a phishing certificate issued by Sectigo. Now, of course, for the vast bulk of the web, i.e. the people using Chrome, then this is effectively shut down, because safe browsing kills that very quickly anyway. So the fact that the certificate exists doesn't really matter, which also highlights the point that it doesn't really matter when it exists for Let's Encrypt. And of course, subsequently, this website has been shut down too. So it looks like the host has pulled the pin on that. But I just thought it was funny to see that certificate there. I haven't gone and checked CT logs, actually, so I don't know if that's actually still valid or if they've revoked it, because certainly enough people saw this tweet, 662 likes. And that is a kind of amusing thing. Anyway, I thought it was amusing. So that was one thing. Now, speaking of amusing things, there's another one here, another tweet thread, which, oh boy. Let me just read it. In fact, I've got to go and open up in TweetDeck, because it looks like the original tweet that then got the quote tweeted, the quote tweet's a funny thing, is now gone. So someone here who's tweeted and said, really, P Pentest Labs? So there is a Twitter account called P Pentest Labs. So really, P Pentest Labs, you're storing passwords in clear text? asked for a password reminder and got sent the password that I've stored in my password safe. And then this person has tweeted a screen cap of their mail from Practical Pentest Labs pass. Hang on, how do you spell this? Oh, this is weird. So the Twitter account is PPentest, T at the start, T at the end of test, Labs. But then the email that comes from Practical Pentest, without the T on the end, Labs, password reminder. But then the domain is Practical Pent. This is strange. Anyway, so they've clearly stored passwords, not necessarily in plain text, could have encrypted it, but obviously not hashed because they've been able to pull the plain text password out and email it to this guy. Now, for reasons unknown, Practical Pentest, with the T on the beginning and on the end, Labs, has then quote tweeted this tweet. Now, the tweet that they've quote tweeted has subsequently been deleted. I'll speculate on why later on. And they've said, we don't allow users to pick passwords so that we don't store any of your sensitive information. We'll come back to that. Instead, passwords are randomly generated by the system and they need to be stores in plain text so that we can send you the reminder in case you forgot it. We hope this makes sense. No, it doesn't make sense. So why doesn't it make sense? Okay, let's break this down. There has been a lot of discussion about this since I shared it. And it's one of these ones where I woke up and it's like, why do I have so many unread tweets? Because there's so many people that are pointing me at this tweet. Bits of this seem really, really bad on the surface. Storing a password in plain text and sending it via email seems really bad on the surface, and it kind of is. We'll come back to that as well. Bits of it as well are less batshit crazy than what it seems. So from a pure security perspective, if they generate the password and it's genuinely random, no password reuse. So when they say we don't allow users to pick passwords so we don't store any of your sensitive information, well, okay, that is correct. They're not storing the user's sensitive information. If they get totally owned, that password's not going to unlock someone's account somewhere else. So I can see the justification for it here. Now, of course, if that was the case where that made sense to do that, then why doesn't every system just randomly generate passwords for people? And the answer is because the usability experience would be absolutely abominable. You just wouldn't be able to remember any of your passwords. 99% of people don't use password managers. It's probably a password that's going to be terrible to write down. The UX just absolutely sucks. That's why we don't do it. Now, for people who are then, let's say, working in this industry, who may then have a higher degree of security awareness and who actually want to do things like use a password manager, well, they've got a password manager. They can generate a strong password themselves. So I don't see why this makes any sense, because for the people who have ways of securely storing this password, they've got ways of securely generating. For the people that don't, now they've just got a nightmare UX experience. So whilst the security position itself might not be absolutely terrible, it just doesn't make any sense in a practical way. So there's that. Now, of course, the other thing is here saying that passwords around the, they need to be stored in plain text so that we... Planes. It's been a very long year. Thought I was going to repeat that. They need to be stored in plain text so that we can send you a reminder in case you forgot it. If only there was another way of allowing people to reset the password without actually sending them the password. And of course, there is, right? The whole mechanism of secure password resets is you send a time-limited token and then someone gets the email. And so long as they can get the email with the token, then they click the link and they reset the password. The problem with this is that not only is there a better way of doing it, but what you're doing now is you're sending a secret which is not time limited. Because inevitably, if you just email them back the password, someone has access to that for perpetuity. If someone gets into your email, then they've got it 1 year, 2 years, whatever from now. Now, then you go down the rabbit hole because you could say, well, if someone else has access to your email, they could just regenerate it anyway. And even if it was time limited, they could use it. And it's like, yes, that's true. But what if someone has access only to your offline email? And look, it's just a pointless thing. And the crazy thing about this is it's like someone just kept giving them more rope. Like the internet kept giving them more rope. And they're just like, let us see how much further we can hang ourselves. So they go on here and they say, and incidentally, the typos here, I suspect English not first language. I'm not quite entirely sure where they're based, though, which is an interesting thing. So I wonder if this is partly a cultural difference as well. So anyway, they go on. We would rather store a system-generated string in our database than allow you to input yours and store it in an encrypted format. Now, every time they say encrypted, I think they mean hashed. We know that people often say encrypted when they mean hashed. We often see it in data breach notifications when sent out to mere mortals. not something that I would expect from a professional security organisation. Look, I've never heard of these guys, so we'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say that they do genuine, proper security professional training. You'd think that you could actually use the right word. If we encrypted the password, that would mean we do have your password. It's just encrypted, and there is a chance, even 0.01%, for it to be decrypted. Well, encryption done properly, yes, if you lose your private key. If you mean hashing, well, yes, if people have bad passwords, then yes, even if it's a strong bcrypt hash, there's always that risk. And that they go on. This is the moral rope. As there is absolutely no impact if we store a string that is generated by our system, but there is one, even if very little, if we store yours in an encrypted, they keep saying encrypted format. Again, I think I know what they're trying to say, but there's a really good reason why systems just generally don't work this way. Because again, it's just like an absolute UX nightmare. Again, knowing, and this is a separate tweet, again, knowing that we do not allow you to neither change it or choose it at sign up. We also do not store an encrypted format of the system's randomly generated strings so that we... All right, I'm going to read this just as the words appear, and you can decide whether it makes sense or not. We also do not store an encrypted format of the system's randomly generated string so that you forget it. We send it to your email in plain text. We do not see why we would encrypt that string and send you a newly generated one when you request a password reminder. When they say reminder, do they mean just sending the original thing back? Like, again, there's a way of doing this. We send time-limited cryptographically generated strings which aren't brute-forceable, and we all know how this works. Next tweet. If a hacker was able to get into the system, then that would mean he might have other things to look at than decrypt or recover a string that we generated when you signed up. I guess I keep coming back to this point of saying they're trying to make sure that they don't have anything that's of any use whatsoever to someone who breaks into the system. But passwords stored well and people encouraged to use good passwords via means such as password generators and password managers, that's kind of why we have that to solve this problem. And you're talking to professionals who should have these technologies in the first place. They go on. The only information stored in our users' database is your email. Many people would argue that is actually quite important to them. I don't agree that it constitutes sensitive data, as some people have argued, because there are other classes of data which definitely are sensitive. Your nickname, a password generated by a system. We do not store any credit card information or any other thing other than the three mentioned above. That's the reason we use PayPal as well. Fair enough. Finally, by unchangeable, we meant that we do not have the option within the dashboard. Because someone has said to them, you don't give me an ability to change my password, which is kind of a fundamental thing. So they've said that the password's unchangeable. By unchangeable, we meant that we do not have the option within the dashboard, but if the user email us, we will be able to assist on that. So inevitably, they're just going to email back a password again. For paid accounts, we verify the request or using the PayPal transaction from our PayPal account. Look, I'm just going to link to the tweet, have a read through, and just, yeah, see what you think, because it's weird. Now, in terms of why the originally embedded tweet got deleted, it's just not clear. I wonder if the person who tweeted it, I think the person's actually nuked their account, because now I'm not authorized to see the original account, which is strange. Strange things on the cybers. Look, I mean, in the scheme of things, like, this is not a massive thing, right? It's just a really just bizarre series of tweets and justifications for what is really already a solved problem. Now, I know there are many, many problems with passwords and authentication, but in terms of this is the best mousetrap we have today, we pretty much know how to do authentication. If they were that worried about it, go and use a social login provider. So go and say, hey, look, you can sign in with Google, Facebook, Twitter, one of these things. People are going to have an account on one of those things. Just about everyone will. And if they don't, they can create a fake. Can you even create a fake account on Google anymore? Didn't mean fake account, an account that may not relate back to your true identity. Anyway, it's just weird. Let's just agree it's weird. All right, last thing, sponsor for the week that has just passed. New sponsor this week, Whois XML API. Now, I actually use Whois XML API myself on Have I Been Pwned for a whole bunch of Whois information when people do things like domain verification. So I've used these folks for years, and they have been really, really good. So I'm glad that they're sponsoring my blog, because I always like to have sponsors who I've already gone and paid money to in the first place because I think that they're good. So they have said they're sponsoring my blog this week. A lack of domain intelligence causes data breaches. Test their security enterprise API and data feed package with free credits. Everyone likes free. So go and give Whois XML API a bit of a run. If you've got any requirement to do any sort of domain-based Whois lookup, these guys rock. And that is from personal experience of having spent a bunch of money there myself. In fact, I think I still have on my donations page, and have I been pwned, donating a whole number of Whois lookups. It was either them or SendGrid. Either way, I've given both of them a bunch of money over the years because they're both really good. So thank you very much for them, for their sponsorship. You're going to see them stick around a little bit yet. You're going to see me come to you. Where am I going to come from? So I'm going to be in Melbourne doing the Yao thing Thursday, Friday, before I get back to the Gold Coast on Saturday. So I'll see. Maybe I'll try and do this next one a little bit more in advance because I really want to try and enjoy a little bit of downtime on the weekend which is coming. So thank you very much for watching. Sorry these do tend to come out a little bit late, but better late than never. See you next time.